and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this fourth Sunday of Pentecost will be taken from Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Seeing this is an epistle, you can remain seated. We will read from Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, continuing in Jesus' name. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness, and keep watch on yourselves, lest ye be tempted too. Bear one another's burdens, so to fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. Let one who is taught in the word share the good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will also he reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather together around your word. Father, we thank you for your willingness to redeem us, to give us eternal life through Christ Jesus. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. And we ask, Father, that you would be with each and everyone gathered here today. Whatever our struggle may be, maybe this morning was a little tougher than normal, and we pray that you would just be with us, give us a peace, give us your comfort, and allow us to know that we are loved by the greatest love that ever could be upon this earth. We are loved by you. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So I was listening to an individual talk about how the Salvation Army got started. And William Booth was the one that actually was the forerunner to the Salvation Army. He established it. And there was a large conference that was taking place, and he was so ill that he had no ability to be there. And so he wrote a letter. And when he wrote this letter, he had it in an envelope and he sent it off to the conference, and someone stood up at the podium and they opened this letter, and everybody was kind of in great expectation of what William Booth may share. And when they opened the letter, it had one word in there: others. That is such a dynamic thing to think about, that we would think of others. And when you look at the ministry of the Salvation Army, you can see that they definitely have thought of others, providing for others, taking care of others. That should be the common theme of the Christian church, which I believe in its rightful state, it is. Oftentimes we have a tendency to turn around and we more think of, what do I need? What does my congregation need? What does my family need? But really, we should be thinking about universally, what do people need? We need to think of others. Well, Paul is no different when he addresses the church in Galatia. Really, he talks about the fact of he's speaking to those that are found in Jesus Christ. In the beginning of the book, he encourages them, tells them he knows who they are. And then you find more in the middle of the book, he turns around and he basically makes a statement of who's coming into your midst and who's bewitching you. And he really kind of comes across saying, you guys knew the right way to go. You understood the path that you were on. But then someone came in and deceived you and started getting you to go back in your old ways. He says, you're like a dog that's returned to its vomit. What he is trying to bring about is that we would understand, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a great commission to enter into this world, to encourage and to strengthen and to bring hope. That we are not to listen to the naysayers on the sidelines and trying to convince us that we are all goofed up. but rather that we would take the message we have received, we would enter out boldly, and we would encourage people, help people, work with others. So Paul writes here very strongly. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, make sure you publicize it and bash the daylights out of them. Is that what he says? Unfortunately, as fallen human beings, we can have that tendency, right? Did you hear about so-and-so? My goodness, their marriage is in trouble. He's off doing this, she's off doing that. Oh my. That's not what we are called to do. This is not what the scripture says. And you may laugh at my antics. You may think, well, this guy's being sarcastic. But seriously, how many times do we do those kind of things? He says, when you find someone that is caught in any transgression, he says, you who are spiritual, your goal should be restoration, to heal them. Not to gossip about them. I really wish I knew how to change that thing. I'm sorry. But anyways, the Facebook thing, there's no button. So, and I feel bad because they're staring at a wall, but at least they can hear something. But how many times have we got caught in that habit? And I want to call it a habit. And then if we do it, sometimes we even do it a little bit like we're concerned for them. And so we have a little religious spin on it, and what I call it is justified gossip in our mind. And I'm not saying I'm immune to it either. This is a wake-up call for all of us, each and every one of us. What should be our greatest concern for someone that's caught in transgressions? Restoration. To encourage them. My wife always says, you know, she sings everything. Everything with her is a song. And she says, you can talk about me all you want if you're on your knees. There's a country song or something that says that. And it's so true, right? Maybe instead of talking about other people to other people, maybe we should be bringing them to the Lord in prayer. Maybe we should be dealing directly with them. He says, you who are spiritual, in other words, you that are found in the Spirit of God, he said, should restore him as a spirit in the spirit of gentleness. And I love this because there's another aspect of our human nature. We're going to go in there and we're really going to tell them what we think. So we're going to bring correction to them, but then we have a tendency as human beings to go in there and chastise them, to beat them up, to take the sin that's in front of them and pound them over the head with it. How does that work? It doesn't usually have good ramifications. Have you ever had that experience in your life? I have. You know, and I'm not saying I've had it here, but I remember back in the day, boy, when I encountered people that were going to chastise me and straighten me out, my heels dug in deeper. But oftentimes, the people that truly loved me and were concerned for me actually brought their love to me and encouraged me to look at what was taking place in my life. Those people had a lot more impact in my life. They really did. And so this is really saying here, we have the Spirit. And the Spirit is not of harshness. The Spirit is gentle. So go to this individual, and in the spirit of gentleness, that we would bring back restoration, that we could bring correction in love and truth. I had a guy today, this week, that I went to lunch with, and he categorized me so well. I was actually blown away by it. We got talking a little bit, and he told me, he says, you know, and he's very, very honest, and he's very dry, and I love this person. So anyways, he's a younger man, much younger than me. And so anyways, he said to me, he said, you know, you're not a nice person, but you're a kind person. I thought, that actually is accurate. That's probably the most accurate description I've had of myself. Because sometimes I think I'm funnier than I am. Sometimes I'm a little too sarcastic. It's just a gift that our family puts out. And really, sometimes I'll say the truth even if it's not the nicest thing to say. But can we be kind? What is the purpose of saying things? What is the purpose of actually coming out and doing this? Are we trying to bring restoration? Are we trying to bring healing? Are we trying to be truthful? You know, you can ruin people, you know. You can ruin people with praise all day long. But can we correct them with criticism? How willing are we to receive it? What if someone comes to us and says, you know, what you're doing is, you know, it's okay, but really, think about it this way. Is it really edifying for you? Is it encouraging for you? Is it healthy for you? Does it make you feel better? And if we were to look at some of the issues that we may have personally, we could say, you know what? No, actually, after, I feel worse. Actually, I don't feel confident in what I'm doing. But if someone comes along and says, you're an idiot and you shouldn't be doing this, how do you handle that? It doesn't work so hot, does it? It doesn't work so hot. So we do have this spirit of gentleness. He says, and I want you to pay attention. He says, don't think you're all that. Because as soon as you do, you're in trouble. He says, keep watch on yourself. In other words, don't look at your neighbor. And we often can do this and say, well, I'm not that bad. And then we have a tendency to give ourselves a slide on a pile of things because I'm not quite as bad as that guy. And so he says, be careful. When you are working in the ministry, don't think so highly of yourself that you could never stumble, that you wouldn't have this problem. Really, what he's trying to say here is we're all sinners in need of grace, but we all have different temptations. He says, so very plainly, he says, be careful, watch yourself, that you become, otherwise you could become tempted. He says, and I want you to do something. He says, I want you actually to bear one another's burdens. Instead of just talking about him, Jesse, just instead of talking about your buddy that's not here today, why don't you literally help him, walk alongside of him, encourage him? And this is the beauty of the body of Christ. When it's working in the Spirit of God, we are there for one another. Every one of us has different strengths. Every one of us has different weaknesses. But when we come together, it's like even the scripture says, our body works in full function. Where one is weak, the other will pick up. Where the other is strong, the other will back off. And this is really what he's talking about here. You have a mission of entering into this world and finding, if you could say it this way, those that God desires to have relationship with, bring the word to them, bring it in gentleness, bring it in love, and allow his spirit to do the work. And don't think that you got it all figured out. See, there's a line that gets crossed, and it's almost on the border of legalism or whatever it may be, when we think, we're all set. We got it figured out. Now we got to straighten them guys out. That's a very, very fragile line. And so, you know, he's telling us, be careful. Actually enter into those ditches and bear one another's burdens. He said, because this is the fulfillment of the law of Christ. If you were to open your scripture and you looked at this law, the word law, it's in a little L. It's not a capital L. And really what he's saying here, the word law here means the working. It's the working of Christ. When we act in this fashion and we step alongside people, help people, encourage people, we are actually fulfilling the working of Christ. Once again, that's not me working. He says, you are spiritual. You have the Spirit. You see somebody that's caught in a bad way, you step alongside of them, you encourage them in gentleness and in love, and you bring the truth to them. It doesn't mean that we sugarcoat everything. See, in this world, we like to pretend things don't exist. We like to ignore subjects. We like to go on that tangent where, well, we can't mention that. Why? Sometimes there's uncomfortable subjects. Sometimes you'll be sitting at a picnic table and you'll be sitting out there with your own sons, and you'll have a discussion, and all of a sudden, the whole Roe v. Wade thing comes up in your table. Am I better off just to walk away and say, well, I'm not going to talk about that no more because I don't want to offend them? We stand on truth. All life is valuable. All life is precious. There is forgiveness for anyone that has gone through issues that they've had to deal with in different ways. We don't judge them, but we still stand up for truth. See, sometimes we have to do this in a spirit of gentleness. But, you know, when you got a dad talking to their sons, gentleness isn't always the gift that we have, and we have a tendency to have louder words, but even that can be corrected. Do you know how you correct something like that? We've been taught since a little child. I'm sorry. Got a little worked up. I'm sorry. This is very important to me, and I got a little passionate, but I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you by getting excited, but I still stand on the terms that I believe. Life is precious, each and every one. So he says, come alongside and understand that when you do this, then you are actually working as Christ. Christ is working in through you. And then he goes, and for if anyone thinks he is something, he says, when he really is nothing, he deceives himself. What do you do with a text like that? That sounds pretty brutal, doesn't it? It's like, I'm nothing. I'm barely lucky to even stand up here. And maybe if I could get some lowly words to come out of my mouth. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about a false humility. How did he just instruct you? He instructed you that you are spiritual. And as spiritual, you need to encourage people. You need to help people. You need to, you know, bring correction in a loving and a gentle way. He also told you when you do this, that means you actually take on the role of stepping alongside of them and helping them and encouraging them. And he says, and when you do this, you are actually doing the workings of Christ. He says, don't think you're doing this on your own. That's what he means here. This is not you. When you think you can fix something, you're going to mess it up. He says, really, when you start thinking, I got it all figured out, or I'm the man, he says, really, you're nothing. And so the main point, what he's saying here is, it's Christ in you. Jesus says in the Gospel of John very plainly, he says, without me, you can do nothing. He's not saying we as human beings or as a soul are worth nothing. That's not what he's saying. We are so precious to God the Father. He came to this earth in the form of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, and he gave himself for us because we are his precious jewel. But what he's saying here is when you think as a human being, you got it figured out and you're going to fix it, you're going about it all wrong. It is God, it is Christ within you. Christ within you. He says, don't think in reality that you are something yourself. He says, because if you do, you're deceiving yourself. And then he goes across in this way. He says, let each one test his own work. What are we testing it against? He's not saying, Jesse, you've done such a fabulous job. Now you have the IQ and the brains to be able to take everything on. How are we to test our work? He says, test the spirits. He also says, in reality, in the Old Testament, God says, test me and see that I am good, that I am true. We take our work and we test it in reality against the Word of God, against the Spirit of God. Tell me an individual that is found self-righteous, that enters into a community and downplays everybody and beats everybody up. How is that justified in the Scripture? It's not. This is the testing that he's talking about here. Are we following the Spirit? Are we listening to the Word of God? Are we actually functioning in the body? Or are we self-righteous and entering out into this world and bashing everybody else? There is a difference, a great difference. And so he says very plainly, he says, turn around and actually test your own work. He says, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. In other words, we're not looking at the neighbor and saying, well, see, I'm not that bad. Look at that guy. We're not judging ourselves against negativity. In reality, what we're doing is we're looking, are we found in Christ? Are we following the Spirit? Are we following the Word of God? This is the work between you and the Lord. Too many times we're like, I want this person right here to see what a Christian I am, how good I am, how holy I am, how perfect I am. We have a tendency to worry about what everybody else thinks of us more than are we found in him. Without me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus says. Another part of Scripture, Jesus talks very plainly about this. He says, when you ask anything in my name, he says that in the Gospel of John 2, I will do it. It doesn't make him our puppet. What he's sharing with us in all boldness is saying, when you are doing the commission that I've given you, when you're entering out into this world as I've called you to do, whatever you ask in my name, I'm taking care of it, not you. See, that gets the head from being this big back to normal. I had a beautiful sister the other day. She says, I love to compliment you on sermons, but I don't want to compliment you too much. I said, yeah, because it's only double doors, and I want it to, my head to fit through the door, right? And she started laughing. She's like, yes. Whatever gifts we have, whatever gifts we actually feel that we could see God has given us, they are the gift from God. Come on. You guys know me. Who in the world would ever expect that we can have good messages or powerful messages when you get to know me personally? And I'm not trying to be belittling myself. It is any gift that is good is of God. It is of God. And this is what he's trying to share with us. See, when I went through seminary, I started to realize this more and more. Because some of the guys at the seminary, they're real clowns. They're real goofballs. I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But when they stand in the pulpit and they have the presence that they can have, that to me is an assurance. That is God. That is not man. So if you're expecting your pastor every time he's walking through the church to be the perfect holy angel, you got a wrong vision. Because if we are having the ability to bring anything out in these pulpits or in the proclamation of his word, that is by his hand and his hand alone, not ours. Not ours. I'll say, we're just the donkey. Old Testament says it, right? Even the old donkey was able to speak to bring correction. But anyway, or we could say it in a more poetic way, we are just worthless vessels doing what we've been called to do. That's what the New Testament says. But anyway, he says very plainly, he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. He says, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Test your work, and I say, against the Scripture, with the Spirit, with God. He says, because everybody's accountable for their own actions. For each will have to bear his own load. Is that amazing? Why do we worry so much about what everybody else thinks of us? Why do we worry about what other people are saying? Where in reality, we are called accountable to God, and God will look at us as a witness. What is your witness? He says, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. We take this kind of in a backwards way, and we look at this and say, what does this mean? Take the one who has taught, and we think, well, that's the knowledge. What he's saying here, let the student, let those that receive, give back. And that's what we do. And this congregation has been immense in that. You've been a great blessing to my wife and I. You have encouraged us in so many ways. This isn't just talking about monetary things. We're fine there too. But when we have the ability to serve and to give, God has also given you the ability to give back, to encourage, to strengthen, to pray, to uplift, to provide. This is really what he's talking about here. So let the one who is taught, who's receiving this word, also share the good things with the one who teaches. You know, you never muzzle the ox's mouth, right? He says, do not be deceived. God is not a fool. God is not mocked. He says, whatever an individual is sowing, that is exactly what they will reap. We have a word for this, right? Karma, right? We call that all the time. And that's kind of turned into its own spiritualization of stuff. But the fact of it is, he says, God's not, he's not blind. And he says, and actually what a person invests in, that's exactly what they're going to get. And he gives us more detail. He says, for the one who actually sows in the flesh only deals with the external world, only deals with their earthly life, he says, that's what they're going to get. You know? That's really what they're going to get. It's kind of interesting because there's so many times that, you know, we turn around and we talk about people that may be living outside of the bounds of what God wants, and we're kind of waiting for God to get them for that. But remember who we are. We are the children of restoration, that we bring truth, honesty, and integrity to those individuals, that they may see and hear the voice of God and change their ways. Not that I could change them, not that you could change them, but that God's word and his spirit could change. If God wanted to get us a long time ago, he would have got us. But he's seeking for restoration. He says, so those individuals that sow in the flesh, they will reap this corruption. He says, basically, when you die, it's over. Kind of an interesting thing. And I want you to think about that. You think, well, you're being a little too general here. I want you to think about it. Everything upon this earth, and I'm talking earthly, some of you have been through this lately, and I'm not making fun. I my heart goes out to you. I've been through it a few times, it seems like. But everything earthly that we work for, when we take our last breath, what happens to it? It's left behind. It goes to someone else. How many times have you seen estate sales? Things that mom and dad cherished. Strangers come into the house and start picking through it. You know, we have prized possessions, right? I have them. You have them. Thing is so precious to me. Gone. Judy's father passed away. We went through the house and we got a 40-yard dumpster and we got rid of so much stuff it would make your head spin. Right, Miss Foot? We're going to be selling a Mustang this coming week. And it was precious. What I'm saying by this is, what is our vestment in? That's what he's talking. If you're sowing only in the flesh, all of this gets left behind. But what Brother Dan had was much better than that. It was spiritual. It was eternal. And that is the great prize. What we sow in the spirit is for eternity. And we will meet again. What Paul's trying to do is say, listen, this is who you are. You are spiritual individuals that have the ability to bring encouragement and lift up people in this world. And you can bring correction, but you bring it in love and you allow the spirit to do its work. He says, and understand, when you actually step alongside people that are going through tough times or difficult times or struggles or addictions, whatever it may be, you are actually working the work of Christ in their life. And he says, and don't think that you're doing it by yourself, because in all honesty, it is I working in you, Christ says. It is me in you. It's not you. So really what he's trying to say to us is, stop being intimidated, human beings, because we are equipped, and we are equipped powerfully by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and by the blood of Christ. He says, so, if you sow things to the Spirit, he says, then also from the Spirit you will reap eternal life. He says, so, don't think now that it's all set, you're good to go, you don't have to worry about anything else. He says, and let us not grow weary in doing good. Don't stop doing good. Don't think just because your ticket's in hand that we're off the hook. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We represent him in this world. He says, so, don't grow weary in doing good. He says, because in all honesty, in due season, we will actually get that eternity if we don't give up. If we continue in the path that he's called us to. He says, so then, as we have opportunity, and each and every one of us is going to have opportunity, right? As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Everyone. And then he does clarify, especially those who are of the household of faith. Have you ever found that to be difficult? I'll personally tell you, I'm as human as anybody else. I can go out in that street and some guy will come up to me and he'll ask me a question. And I'll have patience with him. I'll talk to him. Unless I'm busy. If I'm busy, then I have this look on my face that my wife says I got to change. Like, why are you bugging me? You know. But other than that, if it's like in a setting where someone comes and asks me something spiritual, I can have patience like crazy. But then sometimes in the household, right, the family, we're hit that we get short with people. Why do we do that? Is it because we're so familiar? Have forgiveness for those moments too. But let's also remember that we are to show this goodness, this kindness to everyone, but especially those of the household of faith. What an encouraging word Paul gives us today. He tells us straight out, we are equipped. We are ready to serve. May we do it in the strength of Christ. May we never grow weary of doing his work. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word. Father, we ask that you would bring clarity to our minds, that we would, in reality, sow those things of the Spirit and allow the things of the flesh to be left to the side. That we would seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and understand that everything else we have need of, that will be added. And we praise and we thank you for that, because our sustenance comes from you, not from this world. We ask, Father, that you be with us in the upcoming week, that you would continue to bless and strengthen each and every one of us. Allow us to be productive, but also allow us to find joy and love. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.